are just a war away from America, Stan, where God versus God, the undoing of man. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. And that little wonderful prose was brought to you by Megadeth in their bajillionth, trillionth album that they released. One of the many we will be doing tonight on Discography Blast. But with me, as always, are my brothers in arms, Ben, Gabe, and David. How are you doing tonight, gentlemen?
Like many, we are playing hurt, as the saying goes. So, but at least we're doing a legendary band? Question mark.
I'd say sure. Why not? I mean, this first 78 albums they put out.
Sick, but yeah, I'm totally in the bag for that first 78. We'll own some of this other stuff.
Back half, the 78, the truck.
I think this was maybe better than that other one we did the other day.
Me and you are also owed, so.
Accurate. Feeling it more every day.
Indeed. It's not the age, it's the mileage.
I'm worried that I won't die dead enough for Megadeth.
Well, we'll make sure we take care of that. Because coincidentally, we have another album due after this blast, but it's like the death march of Megadeth, six albums in like a month time span. Which I am only to blame for five of them.
And still so many more to go.
Well, there's a couple I'm like, I'm good not putting them on the list.
So what's the deal with Accelerator? Is that the name of the one everyone despises?
Super Collider.
Super Collider, that's it. I knew it was some physics thing.
So that's the one that comes in between the last one we're doing, 13, and Dystopia, which is the one we listened to while we're on our way to Baton Rouge in 2017.
Yeah, totally.
With a... Woodley Allen.
I remember Dystopia being okay, and I know why people hate Risk. I know that story. I looked at some rankings, and Super Collider was like, out of 18 spots, it was 29th. Like, people like it was.
It's very similar, I think, in style, like sound of Risk, and which I don't know, especially with the four albums we're doing tonight, which is because David and Ben specifically have never like got off the Megadeth train at Risk or. But before that, I was like, hey, you guys missed some good albums. I'm not going to say fantastic, great. There are some great ones, I'll argue, in this sense, on this, in this run through. But you missed some good ones nonetheless. And so I'm going to say, call this blast the late stage Megadeth blast. And Super Collider, and especially, well, these last four albums have very political theme in nature, and they're kind of, they're pissy to an extent. Super Collider got rid of all of that. Like, he literally went, right, I'm gonna write happy stuff. I'm gonna write not Megadeth songs. Why? Like, the guitar playing is okay, but like the lyrics are almost, I want to say, power metal-y. I've listened to it like twice and it's been enough for me.
Weird. All right, I know we're not reviewing that. I'm sorry. I just knew you would be the one to describe the crime scene to me. What went wrong?
Yeah.
Well, allegedly, the first of these is Return to Form, right? And I know everyone always says that. If we had a drink, everyone, Return to Form album. I mean, I feel like that.
Yeah, that'd be one we'd be doing a lot of, especially
with Megadeth. This is their 17th Return to Form.
After Mustaine's third career-ending injury or drug overdose. Because believe The World Needs a Hero, which we did previously, came out. And then he fell asleep wrong in a chair in a rehab facility and pinched a nerve in his arm, which made him physically unable to play. And then he was able to rehab enough and came in. And this is where we get The System Has Failed, which is the first album we're starting off tonight with.
Yeah, indeed. And Ellefson is off here, right? They ejected him. He's not on any of these albums until 13.
Yeah, I think he missed two.
Three, I think. No, I think he's gone. He's gone for all of these with 13. I think he was ejected in like 01, 02. You can look it up. I know he's back for 13.
He missed four albums, not counting the last one. So this is The System Has Failed. It's their 10th studio album, released on September 14th of 2004. Length, runtime, 48 minutes and 24 seconds. Released on Sanctuary, produced by Dave Mustaine and Jeff Balding. Dave had disbanded Megadeth in 2002 due to the nerve injury in his arm. So this is basically Dave by himself with a bunch of studio musicians. So be prepared. Megadeth is, and probably always should be, Dave Mustaine, guitars and lead vocals. Everybody else is not credited as being a member of the band, but there are a bunch of motherfuckers. Chris Poland lead guitars, except for on the tracks I Know Jack, Truth Be Told, and The Scorpion. Jimmy Lee Slowis on bass, and Vinny Colato on drums. Chris Rodriguez backing vocals. Les Emmer Montague, Darren Bennett, Ralph Patient. They did the voices of The Reporter and The Gentle and The Politician on Black Metal Universe. Tim Akers on keyboards, Eric Darkin on percussion, Michael Davis sound effects, Robert Venerable additional vocals, Lance Dean additional vocals, Charlie Judge keyboards, Jonathan Youngin strings and banjo, Scott Harris additional vocals, and Justice Mustaine background spoken part on Something That I'm Not.
Yeah, and just looking at that Megadeth band member timeline is, it's one of the most nonsensical ones we've done for this podcast. Besides, like, Gwar, which has that
Mustaine is always in it.
I mean, but that's it. And you had Allison's run there for the first bit, then the gap for 10 years, and then his until his grooming incident. And then, yeah.
Alleged grooming incident. So I'm just going to guess Tracy has the most history of this album and Gabe the least. I'm going to put that out there right now. Though I guess Ben and I probably, Ben, I've never heard this album until today.
Yeah, I hadn't listened to it before either.
Yeah. Gabe, what's with your Megadeth journey?
I don't have any experience with any of these records.
Us either, really. It's all Tracy.
I actually pulled a David and went back and listened to The World Needs a Hero before I listened to these, just to get that gap from Risk, which was the last album that I had listened to. And with that context, I would have to say that I think this is a return to form.
I agree with that. I listened to Peace Cells and Euthanasia, so because I hadn't listened to Peace Cells in forever.
They had to twist your arm to listen to it, didn't they?
Yeah, it's rough.
To accidentally listen to it.
Oh, no. Oops. I mean, that's the thing. I actually don't mind at all the Countdown Euthanasia turn, right? Because that was not thrash either. I mean, there was no... Ben has said it many times, and I agree with him. That was the greatest thrash record ever made. And where was he going to go from there? Not there. But then Cryptic Writings, it was okay. Risk was bad. And World Needs a Hero, I mean, I think I ended up giving it a B out of stupid brand loyalty, but none of these actively made me want to throw shit, like some of the songs on that album.
Well, I think it's... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I was just going to say I agree. I think this is a return to... some sort of hybrid of some thrash and some Euthanasia.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, and there's actually elements of nu metal on here. And to me, as well as like this comes out in 2004, Saint Anger, I think, came out the year before. It came out before this anyway. So that also means that some kind of monster had come out and Dave had gotten a lot of shit for his appearance in that. And like, I think there's some tracks on here where he's again pissed off at Metallica, and that always brings out the best in Dave.
Agreed.
Restoke the flame.
Yeah. And a couple others too. And so I thought he's like, okay, motherfuckers, I'm going to take what you tried to do on Saint Anger, and I'm going to do it on this album.
This is better than Saint Anger by a lot.
This 100%. Is by a lot. It's better. I also want to say I'm team return to form. Like, this is return to form for Megadeth. It's not retreading old ground, but it's certainly a return to form. And, you know, say what you want about the new metal stuff in here. I mean, I think most of the time, like the majority of the time, the album just kills. I mean, I think it's not, I think that Saint Anger just fails like across the board, but especially in the songwriting department, I think this is much, much better than that. And it's much better, I think, on the whole, than A World Needs a Hero.
Oh, I agree with that for sure. I think it's better than most of the other ones in this blast, which I know not everyone does, but I think it's maybe it's because I listened to it the most times. But yeah, I thought this one was, the songwriting was really solid. It was certainly an improvement over World Needs a Hero.
Yeah. And this one kind of, because I remember my personal story with this album is like, I remember Dave Mustaine getting hurt. And then the next, somehow I missed this album. And the next album I caught was the one after this one, about United Abominations. And I came back around to this one later on down the line. But, and there was part of me thinking this one's like kind of similar to Risk. Like it was United Abominations was that turn to where he was the back to form turn. And then I heard this one was like, holy shit. Like he's pissed off on this album. And then he's just like, I watch every single news channel in the world on like 7 different TVs at once. And I'm going to write lyrics based off everything I fucking see while I do it.
Dave Mustaine got injured. There was no UN. I think there's a lot that's personal in here too, which doesn't surprise me. I mean, there's definitely some politics on here, but there's also some pathos laden, whiny angriness. You know how you do.
The Of Mice and Men, I Thought I'd Be Dead by I Was 25.
That's a good song though. But yes, that
back in the day. Yeah, he's working through, I think this is the turn where he finally decides to get sober. And I don't think he's been in rehab since this, prior to this album. I think this is the album where he's full on Dave Mustaine at his non-drugged most.
He was non-drugged on Countdown. That's a huge part of why Countdown was the way it was, but he'd fallen back off the wagon. I mean, Countdown was the first sober album in that arc from the 80s, which is why he overproduced every single note endlessly. Which I appreciate this. This isn't that. This is definitely a little bit rougher without being a Saint Anger trash fire.
And I think that kind of helps also when you have, this is one of the weird situations I know we talk about where you have one man as like the creative, like driving force behind a band, especially in the writing studio where they do everything pretty much, but you don't have that people to tell them, I don't think that's a good idea and bounce ideas. But here, I think it just kind of worked out well enough to where he had enough like directed control, but like he wasn't willing to experiment too bad in the sense of like, hey, that snare drum sounds great, we should do that the entire album.
Well, if you listen to Dave, that was always the case, because he says that he wrote like all the music or the majority of the music and on a lot of their earlier stuff, and then the other musicians just played it. How true that is, I don't know, because that was especially like Dave Ellison's bass parts, and there's contention between the two of them. There always kind of has been. I think when the relations were good, they'd be like, yeah, I wrote the bass part for that song. I think it was Symphony of Destruction or Tornado Souls. I don't remember. I don't remember which song it was he was talking about. So yeah, of course I wrote that. And then Dave played it.
I think that's part of the reason you have that gap for Ellison as well. Cause I think there was a lawsuit involved where he was wanting some rights involved with the music. And I think it was
a Fear Factory situation where not only rights to the music, but also rights to the name.
Yeah. And I believe his last stint when he joined at the beginning before 13, like he was hired as a employee of the band kind of aspect.
Right. Yeah.
Which that always works well.
Well, I will say this, whether that works well or not, I think in this particular instance, that is fair. If he was not in the band and had not been in the band for a 4-album sequence and Dave was carrying it on, you know, you don't get to be a founding member of the band and the shares the same way necessarily if you quit.
Yeah.
You are brought back as a, you know, would it have been cool for Mustaine to be like, yeah, man, it's cool, come back, everything will be the same. That's not necessarily how it works because, you know, as Slayer found out after Jeff Hanneman died, Slayer Inc. and their personal relationships of the band were not necessarily the same thing.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. But yeah, no, I found this to be a really fun record in a lot of ways. Dave is not quite full on Muppet vocal here yet. Not that I even mind when he is. But it's not, as somebody said, it's through the looking glass of their old stuff without trying to sound like, you know, Rust in Peace Part 2 or even Countdown to Extinction Part 2, which was probably the road to go if you want to try and be commercially successful.
Yeah. Which I never get none of the record sales or nothing on these albums, but I don't even think I think this is more almost a passion project.
I mean, I wouldn't know that I would go that far, but.
Well,
rehab ain't cheap. Yeah. Either drug rehab or physical rehab, and he was doing both. So, yeah. I think they're all vanity projects, Tracy. Dave Mustaine, I would say, ultimately.
I don't know what the sales necessarily for this was, but it reached number 18 in the U.S. Billboard charts.
It sold better than our albums.
100%.
Looks like we need to release a new one, get the band back together. Anything else you'd like to add, or should we move on to tracks?
I mean, in terms of the world, that obviously, in some ways, it just caught up with where he was, in terms of how shitty 2004 was. It wasn't. Just going to throw that out there. My God. I'm not fond of that era. I know some people are nostalgic for it just because they weren't paying attention.
Would you trade that era for now?
Nah, I'm not sure I would. I don't know, man. That's a different podcast. Personally, maybe in terms of my health and age, but that's not the same thing as the world being more functional. I'm not really sure it was. Indeed. I mean, if anything, the US was a worse actor then than now. Just saying.
I think it's remarkable that this album isn't more political, like more sort of like paranoid and like.
Yeah, me too.
I'm also glad that it isn't.
Yeah.
No, it would probably be a little more dated if it had gone full on. I love Ashes of the Wake, but Ashes of the Wake is 100% an album of 2004.
Yeah. And I think the follow-up album to that one is an album that I don't think could actually be reproduced today. Like, that's very much a 2007, 2008 album.
Well, I think part of that is, whereas Dave Mustaine has always been politically adroit, he was, by this point, not of the age where his friends are all fighting and dying in a way that the guys in Lamb of God's friends may have been.
Indeed.
So, any other thoughts, Gabe? You've been a little quiet.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this album is, like, it's, like, fairly well-balanced. Like, it's, for me, I think it's a little bit, like, it dips near the end, but I know we're not talking about this record, but the newest record, this is better than that. And it's just like, there's just more hits, more places where the songwriting works, more places where the playing is like super, super on point. I'm much more willing to go along for the ride on these songs than the songs on World Needs a Hero or even the newest record.
Spoiler alert.
Well, actually, no, because in terms of release, the newest album will come out before this one will, before the Blast will. So not quite a spoiler alert, at least, for the ones listening on.
All right.
Gabe knew that going in, so that's why he's like, I felt safe making this. He's playing the 4D chess.
Always.
But, yeah, anything else we'd like to add, or should we move on to tracks? All right. My Poison. I want to say all of them, but I think the last two tracks are kind of weak. But up through Mice of Men, outside of that little 41 second for I Know Jack, I like all of the tracks on here. My Kingdom and Of Shadow and Death are kind of so almost all of them.
I actually like Shadow of Death. My Kingdom, but yeah, I mean, I think I Know Jack is the worst track on the album, and it's still not terrible.
It's 41 seconds, so get you in and out and gone.
Right. But Black Metal Universe, it's a really solid opener. I'm actually kind of surprised that Tracy liked it, considering how Tracy feels about vignettes and like samples and stuff.
Indeed.
But The Scorpion, which I think is like most likely a direct shot at the dudes in Metallica.
I think so. Or I mean, it's
the guys who used to be in Megadeth. I don't know.
It's a breakup song for sure. Well, yeah, 100%. That is less annoying than the breakup song on World Needs a Hero.
Very true. Something that I'm not also really cool and of Mice and Men.
I don't have a whole lot to add. I think it opens pretty strong. I like Black Metal Universe and Die Dead enough. And then later, I think Back in the Day, it's really good. Truth Be Told and With Mice and Men. I agree that it ends a little meh. I'm not a huge fan of Shadow of Death. It's fine. But most of these tracks are pretty kick-ass.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to add either, but I would say that my favorite run is 1 of 7. I mean, I Know Jack be damned, but that chunk of the record is good. I also wanted to shout out Tears in a Vial. I think that's a pretty good one.
Very cool. That brings us to their 11th studio album, United Abominations, released on May 15th of 2007. On Roadrunner Records, it has a runtime of 47 minutes and 56 seconds. Dave Mustaine, Dave Walding, and Andy Sneap are in the production chair. And this was actually recorded as a band at this time with Mustaine on guitar and lead vocals, Dwayne Drover on guitars and backing vocals, James Lomenzo on bass and backing vocals, Sean Drover on drums and backing vocals, and they brought in some additional musicians to help out, Chris Rodriguez on backing vocals, Axel McEnroe on keyboards, Christina Scabbia, harmony vocals on A Tout Le Monde, Brett Caldas Lima, French voice on United Abominations, and Mary Soler, the other French voice on United Abominations.
So this is the year you got in the right hard here, right, Tracy?
Yeah, I remember I bought this album, actually. This is like the one of the last albums I bought.
It's got a really cool cover.
It does. I had that cover. I had that on a t-shirt in like 08, 09.
Tattooed it on your face.
I might, because that's a badass cover. And for the longest time, I thought it was an angel until like a week ago when I was doing this first time around. I looked on Spotify and I noticed that Vic Rattlehead was right in front of the angel and was like, oh, there's two people here.
Indeed.
But yeah, I fucking love this album. This is my favorite Megadeth album that's not Euthanasia, Rest in Peace, and Countdown to Extinction. So yeah.
It's quite political. I mean, obviously, the world is
super still political.
Trash Heap in 2007. I feel like, well, we don't have to deconstruct United Abominations. I feel like he wants it both ways a little bit, but it doesn't help that I just read multiple projects about the UN and the UN Tribunal for Yugoslavia. I we don't have to talk about that right now. We're not talking about tracks, but like, do you want it or don't you want it? Like, I don't know.
See, I completely agree. I think we're seeing a slight shifting in his personal politics reflecting in the writing.
I think so too. I do too.
You know, and I think a lot of that has to do with him coming out the other side of some of the personal things that he's gone through, whether it be the rehab and rehabbing the arm, or I don't know when he got diagnosed with the throat cancer, so I don't know if he's dealt with that here yet or not. But, you know, we see Dave Mustaine go from like, I don't know. I don't want to go super leftist, but fairly leftist and like anarchic and everything to somebody who is much more religious and more centrist.
100%.
You know, and I think you can really start to see the reflection in the lyrics here.
I agree.
It's not to the point where I'm like, you know, I'm not like fully disengaged from it, but it is somewhat shocking.
Yeah, I was like, wait, so they were supposed to do what about 9/11 exactly? And then did you want them to stop us from going to Iraq or go with us? I mean, I'm sorry, we're not trying to shut this out, Tracy. There's some good songs on here. And I like when he engages with politics, but I think there has been a clear shift towards Jeebus and centrism. And that's his right. I mean, by this point, he must be, what, in his 50s? I don't know his exact arc age-wise, but
I think late 40s.
Yeah, sure. So me and Ben, essentially. That's why Ben and I now hate the UN. It's because we're
purging. I actually hate them less than I have in my entire life. So
yeah. It's an age thing.
It's an age thing. I turned 49. There was no UN.
Let me do some quick maths.
The maths UN is hard. What do you think, Gabe? You're the most objective.
Unfortunately, I think the lyrics on this album kind of ruined it for me. The political stuff I find paranoid or objectionable, and I don't, it was just distracting for me. And I think I read something about how like the album is full of like, you know, some musical innovations or like the parts were hard. Sure. So they had to spend extra time doing it. And I mean, I didn't really even hear that stuff. And I like, honestly don't care because like the fact that they had to get these messages out, I mean, give me a break. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's not going to last, you know, like that's not what's going to secure a legacy. It's the music. And, you know, I think that there are some good tunes on here, but unfortunately the, you know, sort of like musings or paranoid ramblings, like they just kind of take over. And it's like, if you like Dave Mustaine and you like his hearing his point of view, you're going to like this record. But otherwise, like I could take it or leave it. You know what I mean?
I do. And a lot of rankings put this album quite high, but yeah, I found the lyrics of it. I mean, you saw I was mocking it a tiny bit. Sorry, Tracy.
No, it's understandable. And that's what I was saying also. Like this album, I don't think could be made today. In a sense also, like if it, because compared to today politics, this album's crazily centrist compared to a lot of other stuff that's out there now. And so
this might not be the best metaphor, but the one that it reminds me of, and I looked it up, he was 46 when this came out. So exactly.
So you.
Yeah. But this reminds me of like when Alex Jones and InfoWars first started making progress, like right after Occupy Wall Street and before it like had gone.
Like 11-12. Yeah.
Yeah. Before it had gone like super like crazy.
All right.
All right. Yeah. So hearing this in 2007, I probably wouldn't have thought anything about the lyrics. I'd just been like, well, that's kind of weird, but whatever. Fuck the UN. And but now it's kind of like, what?
Yeah. And I think that's part of where like I come in. It's like I've been on this with this album for 15 years now at this point.
For sure.
As opposed to you guys, this is your first hearing it. And you're like, oh God, what the fuck, Tracy? And I'm not going to lie, I was much more right wing in my.
I mean, you were driving a freaking hazmat truck for the army. I get it.
Yeah. Like, in my political leanings, I was more right wing at this time than I was then.
I understand. You
know, I mean, the songs are good and the literature is kind of weird. But I mean, since we're looking, it's kind of like hearing his song on the new album about the Night Stalkers, which I think is a cool song, but it's still very weird hearing a heavy metal band and a gangster rapper teaming up to glorify, you know,
Richard Ramirez,
Special Operations Unit.
Oh, not better. I stand by what I said, Gabe.
Not any better.
Not better. I'm like, wait, what? He does what with Richard Ramirez? Anyways. Oops. Well, the same city, different problem.
Indeed. But yeah, I but overall, I liked this album. I thought it sounded really good. I thought the playing and it being a band was better than the not that there was anything wrong with the session musicians who brought in, of course, session musicians are session musicians because they're awesome players. But, you know, there are just a few stumbles along the way. If nobody else has anything, I can't speak about the album anymore without going into tracks. So I was just going to go into tracks.
Okay.
That's fine.
For example, Gears of War. Dude, it's a fucking video game track. It's a cool-ass video game track, but it's still a fucking video game track. Rehashing a Toot Lamont and including Christina Scabbia, whose voice I like, but why? Indeed. It need to be redone.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure. I thought it was kind of cool. Maybe a little nostalgic, but I don't entirely understand the reasoning.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I agree. It wasn't bad, but I was like, if I wanted to listen to this song, I'd just go listen to the original version of it. We've already talked about United Abominations, which I kind of think is neat. But then like Washington is next, America Stand, they're all right. Blessed Are the Dead. So yeah, I mean, I think most of the tracks on here I actually did quite enjoy, even if like I was just like, I'm not exactly sure what Dave is wanting to say. And it is admittedly colored by the fascist moment that we're in.
Indeed so. Yeah, I'm sure this would look very different if we were listening to it in, you know, 2012. But well, yeah, go ahead, please.
I was just gonna say, like, it kind of like Gears of War, I know it has a video game name, like it deals more with just the weaponry of war. So at times I thought this was very anti-war hearing it, especially in 07, 08. And the atrocities we were committing in Iraq was becoming full blown now, and you're like, oh fuck. But I'll let y'all talk before I just dive in.
I mean, I know you're just going to probably say all of them, so.
Yeah, all of them. I do really like Atu Lamond, Set Me Free. I like her addition to vocals on it. I think they're a nice little touch, but yes, all of them.
We just replace him with her. I don't have a whole lot to add. I think most of these songs are fine. You know, playing was good. I think they cohered as a band well. I like to play for Blood. I thought that was pretty good. America Stan. But all of it's fine. All of it's certified fine, okay. But yeah, United Abominations really got to me. I just could, I don't know. Every time I heard that song, I'm like, okay, dude.
I could not.
I want to sit down with you. We need to have a conversation like about what you actually want here. But it's hard. I get it. It was, this is a very 2007 album, I think, in terms of the arc of 9/11. He's torn. I think he hates war but he loves America. So he's,
well, yeah. I mean, that's kind of how I felt about it too. You nailed it on the head when you said he's torn. And whereas I agree with Tracy that there are moments here where it feels very anti-war, but there are also moments here where it feels very pro-war, or at least retribution. So, but anyway, Gabe.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the only piece of this album that I could probably listen to on repeat is 6 to 8. So Blessed Are the Dead, Play for Blood, and Attila Mon. I don't know the original, but I mean, I think that Christina Scabbia is a good addition. I also wanted to shout out Sleepwalker. I think it's a pretty cool opener. And Never Walk Alone is all right. And Burnt Ice is also a pretty good closer.
And then Night Stalker is a nice tease, dedication to Richard Ramirez. A song I just made up in my mind.
I think that would be a Slayer and Ice-T song.
I know, that would absolutely be a Slayer and Ice-T song, written by Kerry Kang. I mean, just... because he's a dick.
For real.
He's going to beat the shit out of me. Him and Glenn Barnes are going to... I love you, Kerry Kang. I just wish you would talk less. Smile more.
You just want to shut up and play music?
You know, he's done a lot. As has Mustaine. I get it. He was working through some shit here.
Yeah.
I don't pretend to know his... I mean, it's a miracle he's making music at all.
Yeah.
So...
he's on like a sixth life or something like that.
Indeed. No, he's managed to reinvent himself and come back over and over and over. I think pure spite, but
I was meaning his revive from OD and
that's what I mean. Okay. And injuries. And no, I mean the same thing.
Okay.
Getting ejected from Metallica for being a tool. I mean, you know, yeah, all the things.
It's bad when you get kicked from a band for being a drunk when they're already drunks in the band.
No kidding.
It's the Matt Sorum corollary when dudes like Slash and X were telling you that you are using too much. You know you got a problem.
Yeah, no kidding. Motley Crue says you're too drunk.
Yeah.
You should probably...
you're killing too many people.
Exactly. Make it stop.
Well, off we go to Endgame, the 12th studio album by Megadeth, released on September 15th of 2009. Runtime of 44 minutes and 42 seconds. Also released on Roadrunner. Dave Mustaine and Andy Sneap back in the producer's chairs. The band was Dave Mustaine, guitarist, vocals, piano, Chris Broderick on guitars, James Lomenzo on bass, Sean Drover on drums, with Chris Clancy and Chris Rodriguez brought in for backing vocals, and Mark Newby Robson to play keyboards on the hardest part of Letting Go. Sealed with a Kiss.
Intense album cover, y'all. Or I'll go into the camp. I sensed a little bit less. I know the politics of this album were less annoying and weird than the last one. Not to make it solely about that, but
yeah, I think also what one could say about this album is that it is a lot less original than some of the other records, and also it goes straight back to thrash, and they also get the sound right. I think the sound is really good.
Yeah, I agree.
With produced that really well. And you can't really knock the riffs. Like, you can knock the compositions for the most part. So I think that there's a lot to like here, even if it's not really my favorite.
I definitely agree that it is a return more to thrash than the previous two albums that we talked about. So in essence, it's part of the return to form quadrology or whatever of the Megadeth canon. It's, I don't want to phrase this because I don't necessarily think that it's less coherent, but he's pulling stuff in his songwriting from so many different things, because there's a song about a funny car. There's a song about the North Hollywood shootout. There's songs about the financial crisis. And so it feels like, you know, thematically in a lot of ways, it kind of mirrors Countdown to Extinction.
I think that makes sense. Yeah, I think it has similar vibes.
This was the one, like, if David wouldn't have picked The Blast or the grab back he did earlier, Big Four we hadn't done, it was between this and The World Needs a Hero, where the was going to be the odd man out of the my blast. And I couldn't decide. Thankfully, David made that choice easy for me and allowed me to get all five of them in over an extended period of time.
You're welcome.
But, yeah, this one, I think, is much more, agree with you guys, is much more less politically driven in the sense of, like, there's obviously a target he's looking to paint on a group or a certain subject, like United Abominations was. This is much more like, even kind of turned back to the fun of metal in a sense of, like we saw with like Manowar when we did that album, because the 1320 talks about, you know, like a drag race, and then you've got the Hollywood Shootout, you've got a ballad in there, you got the Head Crusher, like, just, you know, it's much more spread out, and they're not just kind of like focusing on one subject, and I think it kind of helps it at times, and I think also kind of hurts it.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, especially because Endgame feels totally out of place as the title track, even. It just feels out of place.
Some grim shit, but you know,
here we are. I think what he likes to do is he likes to take on the role of like the political insider, the person who knows what's really happening, sure. And he's going to tell you what's really happening, or totally. He's going to give you like a dystopian view of the future. And it's like, yeah, you could believe that, or you could also just, like, I don't know, form your own opinion. Right?
You could, but why?
Why, exactly? Because, I don't know, the fantasy is much more appealing, I suppose, to some people.
I was put in a camp, and there was no UN.
I looked in my refrigerator, and there was no
UN. There was no UN. I looked. Freezer. Did you listen to this a bunch of the time, Tracy?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. So, the main... I heard this when it came out in 2009. And also, 2009 is when I developed a World of Warcraft. I'm on the time-killing fun. Let's say that. And I spent 4 years playing that game, pretty much. It's like, if I had free time, that's what I did with it. And I would constantly listen to music doing it. And so, like, my probably number one listen to playlist was Megadeth while I was playing that. And so, like, these four that we've done and like a lot of the early stuff was all mixed in there. And so like, I spent a lot of time with these albums to the point of it's hard for me to separate them in like grading wise, because I know every single one of them by heart. And it's just like sure. A weird spot. You're like,
That's the way I feel about
you feel about the old stuff.
Yeah.
That's how we feel. And that's how I feel about Converge. It's not, I don't feel that way about Converge.
We know you truly love them.
I know that's coming. I brought it on myself. That is how we feel about the old stuff. So I get it. That we weren't playing World of Warcraft. I was playing Warhammer. Not better. Maybe it's better. I don't know. It's more of the same kind of. Involved more lead poisoning and more painting.
Yeah. More poisoning, more painting. But mine was a. I think at one point in time I had 3 cigarettes with playing and I didn't realize it. Just kind of, oh, whoops. I didn't mean to do that.
World of Warcraft.
United Nations was not there.
It certainly was not.
Oh man.
But yeah, and so like I feel like by this album, they've kind of like, because I think after this album, like this album on every Megadeth album post since they've released has a very standard sound to it, and like you could tell it's a Megadeth album if you hear it. You don't even have to listen to vocals, just the way he's really gotten his formulation down to how he wants to write music as a later adult going on verging senior at this point in time.
You're a later adult.
Yeah. Hey, watch out.
I mean, he's in his 50s at this time.
Yeah, he is.
What do you mean?
No, he's been 49, I think.
Yeah,
49. Or 48? 2 years?
Depending on when he was born. 48.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know, not know when he was born. Yeah. Number 9 on the U.S. Billboard top 200. So I did relatively well. It's kind of funny. And I know it's just a symptom of who I am as a metal listener and what I was doing at the time during this period. And as I've often said, although it's been a while, we have new listeners, I had kind of gotten off the metal ride at this point. Not that I wasn't listening to metal, I just wasn't seeking out new metal.
Same.
And I'm glad that you put this last in, because I do think these albums are all pretty good. No matter what quibbles I have about, I mean, it's not like it's fucking Stuck Mojo or something, you know, as far as lyrics go and being weirdly problematic.
I'm so laughing. I'm thinking about the last time I saw them, they were like, Rage Against the Machine should go back to Cuba.
Right, exactly.
I saw them live a couple times. I don't know. We'll talk about Stuck Mojo later. Yeah,
we should do a blast of them at some point.
I think we should also. Anyway, good figure.
So it is, this is a
you know, even with all the lineup turmoil and everything, because Dave Mustaine was the band and always was the band. It still sounds like Megadeth. And, I mean, it helps that he's like the guy who writes everything. He's a singer and he has such a distinctive guitar tone. And you can say that like at this point, he's not really pushing new ground. And I think that would be a very fair assessment, but most artists and pushing 50 aren't really. But also he's not completely relying on trying to do the Rolling Stones and make the same album over and over and over again. So.
Yeah. And like, I don't think Dave Mustaine's ever going to hit the point where he's like, oh, we're just releasing albums just to kind of satisfy contracts while we play the classics live.
You never know.
But like, I mean, I've known they've released several greatest hits releases mainly because that's what the label required of them to meet album contract requirements.
They do have a shit ton of greatest hits. I don't know if that's the reason or not.
I know it's the reason behind like sense. Three of them, like the Capitol Records, the Capitol Punishment greatest hits.
Yeah, there's that one. There's the Warheads on Foreheads. There's like a couple others too.
Oh yeah, I think at this point in time, he's nailed down his post-injury songwriting style, because I think the statement can be made that I don't think outside Super Collider there's a much deviation between songwriting and music on these albums.
That's a very interesting point, because I know he had to relearn to play guitar after the nerve injury, and I haven't like paid close enough attention, and I don't have access. They're probably on YouTube somewhere of like the isolated guitar parts of him playing to see how his playing style has evolved. But it doesn't sound that different to me. And he can obviously still pull the stuff off live. So
yeah,
whether affected his writing or not, I don't know.
I think he's kind of like has nailed down the theme outside of like his foray into Super Collider, which musically it sounds similar to these albums, but lyrically it's a train wreck, and it's kind of a little more pop. I think it's got a little more bells and whistles to it and the production values. Like the one you might be able to make is Dystopia, just because that's how much Bully Adler on the drum kit would probably necessitate a change in sound, or Chris Adler, who is the guitarist.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I guess.
We ready to move on the tracks or?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
I can go ahead because I haven't started one of these yet. I think that side one is really the best of the album. My favorites are Dialectic Chaos, This Day We Fight, Bite the Hand, Bodies, and Head Crusher. I also want to give mad props to Dave Mustaine for starting an album with an instrumental that does not suck.
100%. I will go ahead and go next. I like most of the ones Gabe said. I do like 44 minutes. I think the hardest part of letting go, Sealed with a Kiss, is also somewhat interesting, and in that it's like him writing a song to his wife and his love for Ellipses song titles, and sometimes album titles for that matter. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm not as big a fan of Head Crusher. I will admit that riff is fucking badass, but it just reminds me of like the glut of generic wrestling heavy metal themes we got like from about 1995, so around this time.
Well, it's because those themes I'm into metal, so there's some appreciation to be laid at the feet there.
Yeah, I mean, I like it when wrestlers used heavy metal songs, but I liked it better when they just used heavy metal songs they liked as opposed to ones written specifically for them. But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
I don't have a whole lot to add. I thought most of this album was pretty good. As you say, this instrumental doesn't annoy me as much as some do. Endgame, it doesn't quite fit, but it's pretty suitably creepy. I don't know. It's all okay. I agree with you. It is sort of a return to thrash and not as innovative, but you know, it's the kind of record I would just put on and let it rip. There were none that stood out. There were some real standout tracks on the ones before this, whereas this one, I think it was sort of even throughout, I guess. I know it sounds like a cop-out, but none of these really, really jumped out at me. And I listened to this album plenty of times, but...
No, I mean, I agree. I think that this is just, not to give a spoiler towards grading, but that this is just a solid album. Indeed. With a lot of good tracks, but not any great tracks.
That's how I would sum it up too.
Which brings us to the 13th studio.
I didn't go.
Well, I just figured you were going to say them all, Tracy. So I just tried to save my liver a little bit.
World of Warcraft.
And that's where it's like, hey, if I heard this album start to finish, like I know I could sing along with the entire album, but I don't know if I would necessarily pull every track off and put it on the playlist. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think for me, my favorite tracks is 44 Minutes by far. And then I think 1320 Bites a Hand, Head Crusher, In Game. Like, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's a weird connotation. Like, I don't know if I would necessarily pull everything off, but I know every track by heart. So it is what it is, I guess. But yeah, that leads us to the 13th studio album of Megadeth, 13.
13, cleverly named, released on October 27th. Oh, nope. That was the Japanese edition, released on November 1st, 2011.
For what?
Everybody else. Totally. Runtime 57 minutes and 36 seconds. Also on Roadrunner, Johnny Kaye and Dave Mustaine in the production chairs this time. The band, Dave Ellison is back in the band. Chris Broderick is still in the band on guitars and backing vocals. Sean Drover is still the drummer. Dave Mustaine, still everything. Chris Rodriguez adds some backing vocals.
Sound-wise, it's cool that Ellison is back. And again, I don't know what happened. I've read disputed things, but he's definitely a better bassist than, or a more distinctive bassist than the studio people that used before this.
Yeah.
I think of a Menzo as solid, but yes, he does not have the distinctive sound that Ellison has.
This was also, I think, the album I went into with, like, of this run, like, the least expectations. Like, I was like, all right, here we go. I'm going to listen to it. I think I found the name kind of cheeky when you look at the track list. Also, there's, I think, three albums that were on, at least when I got the albums, because they were the remastered remix editions from the early 2000s that were, there's a couple of songs on here that were on that as the demos and incomplete versions that they then came back and polished up for this album.
But not an entire other album of things that were 95% done that weren't good enough.
Correct. I know that upsets you, David. I'll try and find you another album like that.
David, are you subtweeting Devin Townsend?
The Devin Mustaine project. I am.
I feel like that's too much ego for one room.
There'd just be an explosion. And then we throw Mike Patton in and it just forms a singularity. Everything just folds in.
The most batshit insane album you'd ever get, but you'd get the one, it would never happen again.
So one thing that surprised me about this was how melodic it was compared to the other records from the 2000s. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think it was bad, but it was just, you know, pretty different. And I think as a result, partly, it's a lot less snarly and like mean sounding than some of the other Megadeth records that I know of, which isn't all of them by a long stretch, but still. On top of that, too, I think at this point, I was really hearing Dave Mustaine's voice kind of going. And I mean, it didn't really affect my experience all that much, but it was just sort of what I had expected.
Yeah, the use of melody on this actually reminded me a lot of Euthanasia. And in some ways, the albums right after that as well, in that this sound, and it's because of the melody, but it sounds like there's not as many thrash elements, which is funny considering some of these songs were stuff that had existed on like the earlier albums, which were straight up thrash, and seeing them reworked in this way is Megadeth pushing that commercial envelope again in a way that I didn't really feel they were trying to do on the three albums prior to this. I mean, I guess in some ways they are, because they're trying to recapture their glory, you know, return to form. And I guess it says something that this can be called a return to form to the mid-90s version of the band, you know, with that use of the melody and everything.
Yeah, it reminded me more of those albums.
Yeah.
For sure. Which, again, I was okay with those. I actually liked this. I mean, surprisingly, I like this actually more than the previous one because it was a little bit more distinctive. Maybe it's just nostalgia for Ellison being back or whatever, but I thought this
maybe, but I think like, and maybe it's because it was written earlier. A lot of the stuff was written earlier. I think that the songwriting on here is better than it was in the other one.
I agree with that. No, I think there's some more standout tracks on this one than the previous one.
And it might just be because, you know, if you look at least on Wikipedia, when you look at the track listings, there are more writers involved here. And we know that sometimes having more than one writer in the room for music is better.
Indeed. I think that's true here.
Yeah. And I think there are some moments, a little touches of groove, which you don't really hear a lot in other Megadeth albums, that I think that comes across in this one. And I think it's just, you know,
Youth and Ava had some groove juice. Maybe that's why it, a little bit.
But the return to form, in a sense, like Damon Sand, I think, is always, you know, after Metallica got Black Album got number one, he's always been chasing that number one. And then Risk was the ultimate, like, oh, too far. And then Return to Road is a Hero. And then the Simmons fell. And I think he's just kind of like, all right, well, how can we tinker and just make this improve a little better? How can we tinker and make this improve a little better? But I think he've really, like, the return to form, I think, started with System Has Failed, and like is the culmination. Like, they've been in form since the System Has Failed.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the melodic thing works a lot of the time, but for me personally, it doesn't work all the time. And I don't know whether to chalk that up really to the other songwriters or not. But I think I do. I think I do like the earlier iterations of the sort of like implementation of pop sort of in their style better than I do like this.
All right. Shall we talk about some tracks?
We can.
Sure.
Nothing else to go with. I'll go first. I'm gonna say all of them on here. But definitely Public Enemy number one, Guns, Drugs, and Money. Fucking New World Order, I fucking love on this album.
Yeah. I think Fastlane's okay. Wrecker's pretty good. Probably most of these songs are pretty good. I thought it stood out a little more than the last album.
Deadly Nightshade, I thought was pretty good. William of the Blind, you know, just to add on, because I agree with the both tracks that you guys have listed as well.
You're muted, Gabe.
I would just add some of my, sorry about that. the opener is pretty dope, Sudden Death. I like Public Enemy. I think 1, 2, 3 is a great, you know, great combo. Yeah. And even We the People, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I'd shout out Never Dead as well.
Mm, yeah.
Gabe was muted. There was no UN.
There was still no UN.
Yeah, there's still no UN.
Well, that means it's time to grade these bad boys.
Yeah. Dustimmt.
So
what flavors of A are you going to give these, Tracy?
I don't think I'm going to give out all A's.
Oh, okay.
All righty. But we'll start with The System Has Failed. I'm going to give this an A, just straight up A. I'll give it 94.
This one's one that I probably like the most out of these four. I'm going to give this one an A-, 91.
I don't know that it was my favorite one out of the four, but I agree that it is an A-minus album.
I'm going to give this a B+. It is one of my favorites that I heard this session.
It's not going terrible, Tracy.
Yeah. I mean, if there's ever a time for me to like, yes, and not just shit the bag on greats, it's going to be this episode, man. I think the rest of them, though, I'm SOL.
Yeah, this will probably be your best grade
blast ever, just nonstop.
Probably.
That gives us an average of 91. Would you buy this album, gentlemen?
I think I would.
Yeah,
it's good.
I would too. All right, United Abominations.
I think this one, maybe it's, I have trouble getting past the lyrics. It annoyed me a little bit, but I think it's better than World Needs a Hero. So I'm going to give this an 86. My grades are in a pretty tight band today. So 86, high B.
I agree that the lyrics were a little off-putting in places, but the musically, I really enjoyed it. And I think this is an A- as well.
I am at definitely at the low end here. This is for ultimate fans only. I mean, it's just proof that if you like Dave Mustaine and if you don't mind him spouting his political opinions, you will like this record. This is a C plus.
I get that.
All right. Well, I'm going to come all the way to the other end of this. This is probably my favorite Megadeth album outside of the classic trilogy that we're on.
102.
Yeah. No, not quite, but I'm going to give it a 98.
I get that.
Which puts it above Rod P. Sales, but he's behind for me by a bit.
Okay. That's fair.
Would you buy this album, gentlemen?
I'm a completist, so back in the day, I probably would have. Maybe. I'd be a little torn. Probably.
Have you seen that cover art? Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Gabe, if I bought these other ones, I probably wouldn't. Or Gabe definitely wouldn't.
No.
I did buy this album, and I'd buy it again. And the average for it was an 88. That gives us Endgame.
I'll go first on this one, I guess. I thought that this was a very solid album by a band that had gone through all kinds of personnel changes that we talked about. I don't necessarily think there's a bad track on it, but also there's nothing that really stand out to really punch it into elite album status. So I'm going to give it a B.
I like this one a hair more than United Abomination. So I'm going to give this one an 87.
I will also give this a B plus. I like it just about as much, I think, as The System Has Failed. There's just a bunch of good tracks on it.
I am right there with you guys. I'm going to give this a B plus too, as 87. So actually, after hearing The Road Into Hero and Endgame, I prefer Endgame over The Road Into Hero. So I'm glad I would have actually made the right choice in that decision. But that gives us an average of, no surprise, 87. Would you buy this album, gentlemen?
Sure, why not?
Why not?
I mean, I bought the other two. And this one might as well.
Yep. A 13.
That one was a little bit better than the previous two. That one's an 88. I'm very creative.
88. Yeah, I agree. It's a B plus.
I'm going to give this an A minus, a 92.
You know, an A minus is a 91 and a B plus is usually 88, right, Tracy? No, we don't have to go over this again. You give whatever grades you want.
I give it a 92.
Give it a 92, the Gabe grade. Trademark Gabe Cooper.
Gabe, you look like you're trying to decide.
I gave the wrong grade for the last one. Totally failed.
The system has failed.
Yeah.
It has.
So,
you gave the wrong grade. Where was the UN?
The UN was nowhere to be found, obviously, because they would have done something. So my Endgame grade is actually a B because I didn't like it quite as much as the first one. But my grade for 13 is a B plus.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
So now our average is 86 on Endgame and 89 on 13. Would you buy this album, gentlemen?
Warum nicht. Sure.
I mean, the United Nations isn't there to stop me, so yes.
Amazing.
Send the peacekeepers in to stop Ben from buying it.
Oh, yep.
Well, gentlemen, I did it. I had a blast, but the average was not a C plus. So
what was the overall average? Probably progress. An 88 or something.
An 89 if you round up. 88.56 if you want to be exact.
Well, that's good for a Tracy Blast.
I know. I mean, let's just look at the end of last year and what that put us at. Oh, let's see. Mastodon.
I tried.
Actually, that was an 85 as well. Huh.
I thought you just said 89.
85. I said.
No, but you just said Megadeth.
Oh, yeah, 89. I was expecting to be like a 60, like a 78 on that. With
no, because I like those albums. It's. Ben and I sort of canceled out a little bit.
I was the UN in that situation.
You were definitely the UN in that situation. Ben gave it a DD minus minus. Where was the UN? D minus rodeo.
Where's the justice?
Where's the justice?
Well, no, Ben's asking where was the UN in that situation because for him, it was Crimes Against Humanity having to listen to Mastodon for 4 albums.
It happens.
It does.
Well, speaking of Crimes Against Humanity, what's our next blast, Tracy?
It is courtesy of Benjamin, and we are returning back to a band we haven't done in like 2 years, and Sentenced.
Which it's definitely going to be a crime against David, and I apologize.
I think it's going to be a fun one to for
amazing.
All involved.
Actually, those albums might not be as slow as I remember, so he might be okay with them.
It might be all right.
You know. But I do want to know, is so we avoid what happened last time. Is there any album in that blast that dealt with that has a personal attachment to it? So we don't shit on it in the beginning, and then you're like, and this album helped me get through.
That's generally a you thing.
Well, well, I remember it was the Sentence album we did, and like me, Dave, were like, man, I don't know about this fucking album.
And, you're and like, Ben's like, I killed a man listening to this album. Right now I'm very emotional.
And I had to bury his hobo body somewhere. But no, I mean, you know, it's music is great for that kind of thing. But no, I don't have any particular connection to any of these albums.
Okay,
riding the rails, just.
Doing it up like Richard Ramirez. You know?
I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. Just watch him.
Me, Ice-T, and Megadeth.
Yep. And randomly, James Amenzo.
Devin Mustaine Townsend, the third.
Devin Mustaine Townsend, the third.
There's two others before him.
Oh, no.
Glenn Barnes is their producer, and it's all coming together, y'all. I feel good about it.
One time, gentlemen. But yeah, thanks for going along. I do have a question before we actually sign off fully on this. Now that you've heard these, are there any of these Megadeth albums that you're going to put like into regular rotation? Because I know you guys kind of kick back to the earlier stuff. I didn't know if any of these cross that threshold of.
I probably actually will go back and buy these four albums so that I have physical copies of it. But to be quite honest, when I'm listening to music outside of the stuff that we're doing for review, I don't actually listen to as much metal. So heavy rotation, no. But will I listen to them? Yeah. Because now that I'm, you know, now that they're a known quantity and not just, oh, yeah, that's one of those Megadeth albums I've never heard.
Yeah, sure.
Gotcha.
Yeah, well, I'll send them some. Yeah, I'm with Ben. I listen to a lot of not metal when I'm not prepping for the podcast, but familiarity helps. I'm sure we'll hear them with you.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I'd like to bring these into rotation. I mean, I don't listen to Megadeth on the regular either, but I would.
Yet. That's a threat.
Yeah, I need to kind of finish my tour of the earlier stuff. Sure. But
what have we done? Almost all of them, right?
We've done Peace Sells, but Who's Buying?
Yeah,
we've done here. The three early 90s albums.
Sure.
And we've done these six that we'll end up doing around.
So the back half. So far, so good. So what? We haven't done the first
Killing
one.
His Business. We haven't done Cryptic Writings. We haven't done Risk. We haven't done Super Collider. And we haven't done Dystopia.
We may not do some of those. I don't know. A shitty Megadeth blast, Super Collider, Risk.
Well, Cryptic Writings, I think, isn't that like limited collection special release stuff? Not necessarily an album itself.
They had one that was that, but I don't think it was Cryptic Writings. I think that was because it had all their soundtrack stuff on it. And I don't know.
Because
it had Diadems.
Because I had that. 99 Ways to Die.
Mm-hmm.
99 Ways to Die.
Which I would be down for reviewing that one because that was pretty awesome.
It was pretty awesome.
While David's looking that up, I will say that this has made me really evaluate the Big Four. In the early 90s, as much as I like Slayer, I think just because Rest in Peace was so awesome and then Countdown, that Megadeth was my favorite of the Big Four. And then Slayer took them over, you know, and then when Megadeth started releasing albums that were probably still better than Metallica's, they fell off a whole lot and Anthrax became the second band. So this has probably brought Megadeth back up to the second favorite band of the Big Four to me, because these are just such good quality. Which kind of feels like I'm shitting on Anthrax a little bit. And I don't really mean to, because they've also had a run of really great albums lately.
They have, but not as many, I don't think. They're not as prolific. It's Hidden Treasures is the one we were thinking.
Yes.
Not to be confused with Warheads on, which is another one like that later, Warheads on Foreheads. But anyway, yeah, Hidden Treasures is the one. I liked Hidden Treasures. That was fun.
I did too. Yeah,
that was Anger really Again on that's fucking amazing.
Yep.
And kind of like on that note, I think the Big Four I've spent the most time with is Megadeth.
Yeah. And
which, like, I was hardcore into Metallica earlier, and then like Megadeth overtook them in my late teens, early 20s.
Well, good.
when Sawyer was a much more later realization
what,
in life.
Wait, what is this? Wake Up Dead? I miss this. Lamb of God and Megadeth?
Oh, yeah, that's a song off like the earlier album. I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah, Wake Up Dead featuring Dave Mustaine. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I know this. So, yeah, anyway, sorry. I just randomly stumbled across this. I'll check that out later. Interesting. Thanks, iTunes.
They're just giving what you want, David. That's all it is.
It would seem so. In Lamb of God and Megadeth? Sure, why not? Poof, you're puppeteer.
Yeah, I'm sad that I missed that tour, actually. Because yeah, that was during the COVID times.
Indeed. We missed a lot in the COVID times. All right. Well, I think we're about done with this biatch.
I think we are. Anything else like to add before we go to the order before we move on?
Being sick is my business, and business is good.
I just have a question for you, Tracy.
Okay.
Where's the UN?
Yeah, where is it?
I don't know. Trust me, I'm trying to answer that own question my own self.
Yeah, I'm sure you are, actually.
I got hit by toxic toilet plumes, and there was no UN.
I mean, the UN's there is best I can say, but like a parent, it's like, you shouldn't do that. Oh, you did it anyways. Well, you shouldn't have done that.
Air traffic control canceled my flight out of San Francisco, causing me to be struck in Phoenix. Where was the UN?
Where was the UN?
That's our new thing. No matter what the situation.
There was no UN.
Oh, man. It's going great.
It is. Tune in next time for more greatness here on Thunderdome Metal Reviews.